I'm reading from Psalm 87, verse 5. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, for the Most High himself will establish her. The word privilege has found a prominent place in our conversation in the past several years. We heard it once again last fall when the alleged writings of the female school shooter from Nashville were reportedly leaked to the public. The woman killed six people at one of our PCA schools there in Nashville on March 27th of last year. The writings, if genuine, give us a window into her deadly design, because she desired to kill all of the children, every one of them, because of their privilege, based on, of all things, the color of their skin. And we should note that this swelling class envy, the hateful accusations and deep-seated jealousy have arisen largely from a philosophical worldview that is undeniably responsible for the deaths, the murders really, of over 100 million people in the past century alone, a philosophy known as Marxism. This is a serious concern. Now, I think we can admit that all people are not born with equal circumstances. Some are born into great wealth, others into crushing poverty. Some are born into an intact family, others are born into something that resembles chaos. Some are born to competent parents, some to incompetent parents, neglectful, even abusive parents. Some are born with many skills and high intelligence, others are born with few skills and low intelligence. And speaking of low intelligence, some of those children will grow up to be Green Bay Packers fans or Minnesota Vikings fans. And our best response to our privileges, according to our Lord Jesus, is to take whatever advantages God has provided for us and entrusted to us and to use them to serve the Lord and to serve others. Whether it's one talent or two talents or five talents, doesn't matter. But whatever our privilege, use it in the service of the Lord. We rightly trust the Lord, the giver of all good gifts. I want to talk with you about the great privilege of baptism. Are you baptized? Have you been baptized? Most here, I suppose, have been baptized. One very precious little child, not quite yet baptized. In a Presbyterian context, I assume that many, if not most of us, have been baptized as babies. I was, well, at least I was told that. I don't remember it, of course. Others were possibly baptized later in life, growing up in a believer's baptism context where they waited to be baptized, too long in my opinion, until they could profess their faith in Christ for themselves. Others may have grown up with no Christian tradition whatsoever, but came to faith in Christ gloriously later in life, and upon their profession of faith then were rightly baptized into Christ's church. But either way, baptism is a great privilege. Maybe among the greatest. Why? Because it is a clear sign that God has been at work in your life. God has preceded you. He has gone before you. And especially if you were baptized as a baby and really had nothing to do with your own baptism, God arranged that, you know. You could have been born into a very different context. You could have been born into Islam, the second largest religion in the world, and you could have been set on the never-ending quest to appease an impersonal and uncaring cosmic judge. You could have been born into Hinduism, another very large religion in the world, and set on the endless cycle of trying to burn off bad karma from the countless past lives you've lived, hoping the next time to be born into a better situation, or at least to burn off some of the dukkha or suffering as you maybe lose your individual consciousness in the end and merge with the Atman or the All Soul of the universe. Or you could have been born into the relentless despair of atheism or materialism and grown up believing that you came from nowhere, that your life is utterly meaningless, and that you are heading toward absolute extinction as though you had never lived at all. But you've been baptized. That's incredible. And Almighty God, your Maker, has been laying the groundwork for something wonderful, exciting, soul-satisfying, and eternally effervescent. And I offer three simple responses to the privilege of having been baptized, whatever your age was. First of all, give thanks for your baptism. Give thanks. Yeah, don't wait till November, the season of Thanksgiving, but now and every day, give thanks for your baptism. You know, we catch something of the wonderful privilege of this in Psalm 87. On the holy mount stands the city he founded. The Lord loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwelling places of Jacob. Glorious things of you are spoken, O city of God. It sounds like this is going to be a paean of praise for the city itself. Maybe its situation, maybe its architecture, or its location, or its majesty. But actually, it's not really about the city. It's about God. It's about the Lord's blessing, his presence. That's what makes all the difference. Look at verse 5. And of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, for the Most High himself will establish her. Now he's referring, of course, to the Old Testament church, the people of God in the Old Covenant. And what our baptism means is that God has brought you and placed you into the context of the New Testament church, of the his own beloved covenant people. There is no greater place on earth. There is no higher or more desirable privilege than this. And we catch something of the joyful flavor, the wonder of this great blessing in our psalm. Verse 4, for example, among those who know me, I mention Rahab. These are all foreign peoples who sent their representatives to come to Zion. I mentioned Rahab and Babylon. Behold, Philistia and Tyre with Cush. This one was born there, they say. So foreigners, outsiders come to the shining city of Jerusalem, the people of God, and they're astonished. And they point out the great advantages of those who have lived there all their lives. One says to another, do you see that guy over there? Yeah, yeah. He was born here. You got to be kidding. He's lived his whole life in this glory? Yes, he has. He was born here. It doesn't end. Verse 5, and of Zion it shall be said, this one and that one were born in her, for the Most High himself will establish her. Again, the foreigners are talking, and those guys over there, that whole group over there, including the little kids, you see that? Yeah. They were all born here. They have always lived their lives here. What an astonishing thing. I'm just glad I got to visit. But they've lived here in this blessing all their life long. You know, the wonder of this blessing is even seconded and ratified by the Lord God himself in verse 6. The Lord records as he registers his people. God's keeping count. This one was born there. How greatly he has favored those who were born among his covenant people. You know, I grew up in a tradition where it was somewhat, and this is some years ago, obviously, but it was somewhat the practice that in certain meetings people would stand up and give their testimony. And if the testimony was more dramatic, if it was about living in sin for a time and giving the details, often I think too many details, it was more well received, a kind of, dare we say it, entertaining monologue. And I always came away from these testimonies a bit deflated, to be honest with you, because I was baptized. I grew up in church in Zion. I was a sinner, of course. Don't get me wrong. I was worthy of death and hell because of my terrible sins. It's just that I was baptized. And I was raised in a covenant church and a covenant home. And I didn't have the opportunity to go off and sin. Oh, what a bummer. I didn't go get into drugs or illicit sex with countless partners. I didn't have the opportunity to commit a number of crimes and go to jail or be a part of organized crime. I missed it. Thank you for smiling. You know I'm being facetious. I didn't miss anything. God spared me. I was baptized. And I was spared from, by His grace, from the glamorous life of debauchery and degradation. When was the last time you thanked God for your baptism? When was the last time you just sat back and said, Father, thank you that you arranged it, that I heard the good news of the gospel, that I was raised in a covenant home, that I was baptized and marked by you for salvation. Perhaps today when you witness a baptism, you can quietly thank the Lord that He has similarly claimed and marked you as His own. So give thanks for your baptism and then remember your baptism. Now, this can be a little bit tricky. The mere fact that you were baptized and grew up in church counts for nothing at all. Zero. I would say less than zero if you do not own your baptism and put your faith in Jesus Christ. This is something that my Baptist friends warn about, and I think they have a point. Some do not really remember their baptism as much as they presume upon their baptism. Hey, I'm all right. It's good. I was baptized. I belong to a prominent family in the church. I was baptized as a baby, so don't sweat it. I'll be fine, no matter what. Beloved, this kind of presumption is exceedingly dangerous. I've seen it in some churches. You know old cousin Bill, right? He never comes to church on the Lord's Day, ever. But you know, it's Bill, right? I mean, he's family. We all know Bill. He grew up in church. He was baptized. It's fine. It's not fine. It's dangerous. This kind of presumption, the most slippery form of false assurance. You know, it's right at this point, I think, to note that God has no grandchildren. Baptism truly engages the child to be the Lord's, but it's only an engagement. Many, many children, sadly, you may know, have walked away from their baptism and have never personally closed with Christ. Think of it. All the baby boys in Israel were circumcised. Have you read the Old Testament? How many of them really believed? I would say a sliver of a fraction believed. Sometimes whole generations fell into idolatry and unbelief. But they were all baptized. Or they were all circumcised. But in times of great trial, of deep suffering, of shameful personal failure, it is exceedingly helpful to remember your baptism. God has been at work in your past, in your life, even before you may have been born or had become aware of anything. God was there. God was marking you, claiming you as His own, sealing you for the day of redemption. John Calvin put it this way: we must realize that at whatever time we are baptized, we are once and for all washed and purged for our whole life. Therefore, as often as we fall away, we ought to recall the memory of our baptism and fortify our mind with it, that we may always be sure and confident of the forgiveness of sins. Martin Luther, as you may guess, likewise often counseled that we remember our baptism. For this reason, we must hold boldly and fearlessly to our baptism and hold it up against all sins and terrors of conscience and humbly say, I know full well that I have not a single work which is pure, but I am baptized. And through my baptism, God, who cannot lie, has bound himself in covenant with me not to count my sin against me, but to slay it and blot it out. You notice what they don't say? They don't say, you know, when you've fallen away or when you're in great need, they don't say, gut it out and try to convince yourself that, no, I really, 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 really do believe. In fact, they don't ask you to look at yourself at all. Don't look within. Look to the very public sign that God has given, that you have been baptized. Baptism is not really our testimony to God, as some of my Baptist friends will argue. It's God's testimony to us, that He is engaging us, that He has claimed us. It is God's sign and seal of His ownership, and He will never let us go. So give thanks for your baptism, remember your baptism, and thirdly, improve your baptism. What does that mean? And this applies to those who are baptized, you know, here and those who are baptized here. Improve your baptism. What does it mean? It's described in detail in the Westminster Larger Catechism, the answer to question 167. The answer is lengthy, as you would imagine, in the Larger Catechism. And I'm not going to read it, but I will summarize it. We improve our baptism, it says, in six ways. First, by living in gratitude for the privileges and benefits signified by our baptism. We've already discussed giving thanks. Second, by being humbled at our failure to walk in the new life that is signified by our baptism. Our sins are washed away. We're set on a new path of joyful obedience, but we often take little side trips. We stray from that path of that new path. The greatness of God's promise in baptism ought to humble us for our continual lack of embracing that new way and often living in ways that are unworthy of the gospel. Third, by growing in our assurance that the things that are signified by baptism belong to us. The assurance of salvation, of God's working in us to bring us to maturity in Christ. Come to me, Jesus said, and I will give you rest. And he invites us to rest in the promise of our baptism. Resting from the ineffectual, weak and impotent attempts at self-salvation through our works, and resting instead in the perfect salvation won for us through the perfect life of Christ, which he offers as a free gift. Fourth, we are baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. So we improve our baptism when we draw strength from the cross and his resurrection hope. He has fully paid for all of our sins with his precious blood on the cross. He has risen from the dead. And the same Spirit that raised him from the dead is at work in us. He is making us like Christ, and we have this great hope. Fifthly, we receive a new name and a new identity in baptism, and you know, that's another word that people are just struggling with. Identity. Who am I? Can I declare who I am? Can I make myself something? Well, in baptism, Christ gives us a new name. He gives us a new identity, and it's great. We're not our own. We belong to Him. And so we endeavor to walk in the way of holiness. We put on Christ and live according to His grace and goodness. And sixthly, we are baptized into the body of Christ. We improve our baptism by walking in brotherly love and fellowship, by seeking to build up His body, the church, in Christian fellowship and in mutual service one to another. And all of this is incredible. This is astonishing. All this goodness our Lord intends for us in Christ, and that's signified by baptism. Now, I've baptized many babies. I can't remember how many babies I've baptized. I've baptized some adults as well. And some babies you have seen sleep through the whole thing. I think it's a wonderful picture. God's doing something to them. They have no idea what's happening to them, but God is doing something. Others, and I use a lot of water, so, and some are startled awake and scream and holler. And you know, some people today are hoping for the first one, I think. None of those babies are going to recall any of this. But God does. And in those baptisms, we see His kind intent to claim those children as His own. Is it possible that some here today have not been baptized? Do you want my professional opinion? Are you crazy? What are you waiting for? For good reason, God has brought you to this place today. You have heard this good news. You've heard the offer of salvation. Come to Christ and be saved. And God has been working even in these past few minutes. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to cast in your lot with the people of God. Come and put your hope in Christ today. And lay hold for yourself of all of these choice benefits. You'll notice how our Psalm 87 concludes. Singers and dancers alike say, "All my springs are in You." And the heart of their joy is that they belong to God's people and dwell in His city, His church. This is a stellar day of rejoicing. Every baptism is that day. And for here we see the Almighty God at work now. In the life of someone who will not even remember this day. In the lives of the Christian homes in which his parents were raised, here we see the mercy and goodness of God in marking this child for eternal blessing. Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, You lay before us this great feast. You've promised us salvation. Wow, there's nothing in this world, nothing at all, that is worthy of comparison. So thank You for this great hope, this wonderful covenant promise. Help us to give thanks and to remember and to improve our baptism, that we might know Your faithful work in us. And then we might follow Christ faithfully to life's end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.